I have a confession to make this morning, and usually that's a good way to get people's attention. I was born with a weak or a default reminder. It's hard for me to remember things, and so over 50 years ago, I came up with the invention of an iPad. Now, if you think about the iPad, it's really my pad. It's a little pad that I carry in my shirt with a pen. And when people say, "Will you visit so-and-so in the hospital as a pastor?" If I don't write it down, they won't get visited. If someone said, "You know, will you do this?" So to remind myself, I use this little, what I call an iPad, to remind myself, because the one I was born with doesn't work as well as it should. And so I have my way of reminding myself of things that I need to do. We want to talk about reminders this morning as we think about the end of this year. In a few hours, we start a new year, and thought this passage would be appropriate to read and to study. And so we want to turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. We want to look at that chapter in its entirety in the time that we have for our message this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is a great, wonderful passage to read and to study and to meditate on. Deuteronomy is quite a book. As you think about it, perhaps we say, well, that's not our most favorite book in the Bible. But when you think about 80 times in the New Testament, there's a quote from the book of Deuteronomy. And Jesus often quoted the Bible when he was here on earth, and it's recorded in the New Testament. He quoted the book of Deuteronomy more than any other book in the Bible. Deuteronomy means second law. Doesn't mean that the law that Moses was given, God gave to Moses, was set apart. Now we have a new set of law. It was law given the second time to that new generation. The old generation that came out of Egypt, because they disobeyed God, they were forced to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. And their children now are grown up, and they're parked on the east side of the Jordan River. And Joshua is going to be able to take them into the promised land. And promised to that, Moses repeats the law again. And he says to this new generation, because their fathers have all died, their mothers have all died in the wilderness, except Moses and Caleb, and Joshua, of course, are the two that are still left. And Moses gathered his Israelites together, and he challenged them. He, in the book of Deuteronomy, remember the things that God has done for you. When you think about the word remember, it's used 13 times, 13 verses in the book of Deuteronomy. It says, remember. We're going to look at some of those things this morning. And then about 8 times, he said, don't forget. So there are things that he wanted them to remember as they plan to go into the promised land. Remember the things that happened to you and your father wandering the wilderness because of disobedience. Now, as you move into the promised land, here's some things I want you to remember. And we are leaving not the wilderness, but we're leaving the year 2017. And in a few hours, we're going to turn the page and turn the calendar and move into a new year. So I've worked on a message here of some of the reminders that Moses gave to that generation that I like to give to you and myself as we study the Word of God. I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 8, one verse at a time. And if you have your bulletin, there's an insert there. And for every verse, we have a reminder. And we're going to go through this quite rapidly in the time that we have for the message this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's begin and study some of these reminders that are in this book. Verse number 1, every commandment, Moses is speaking, reminding them of how they ought to live now as they go into the new land. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Reminder number one is God's word. Remember God's word. He reminds them of God's word. Every word is important. Every commandment is important as we study the word of God and as we move into the new year. Remember to observe, as he puts it down here, carefully observe. Don't be flippant. Study the word of God. Listen to the word of God. Come to church and hear the word of God and determine that I am going to observe and obey God's word. God's word is so important as we start this journey into the year 2018. Remember God's word. Be reminded of God's word. Verse 2, he says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. For every day they spied out the land and did not go in to possess the land." They listened to the majority instead of listening to the minority report. For every day you spent in the land, you're going to spend 1 year in the wilderness. We talk about the consequences of not obeying God's word. Surely these folks learned the lesson the hard way. And Moses wanted to tell this young generation, listen, remember what happened to your forefathers. So he says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." Reminder number two is remember God's wilderness. Sometimes God allows us to go through wilderness experiences. We are to learn and remember the lessons that God wants us to learn during those experiences. Sometimes we are in those wilderness experiences because of our own maybe poor decision, bad decisions, or disobedience, and God takes us through some hard times. But remember, as we go through those wilderness experiences, to learn and to understand what God wants us to do. Sometimes God just puts us through some wilderness experience because it's his plan. And we need to go through those wilderness experience and trust in God and remember and be reminded these wilderness experiences are for us, to develop us. He's testing us. He wants us to develop our faith in the Lord. So reminder number one is God's word. Reminder number two is God's wilderness. Verse number three, we remember, or our reminder number three is God's watch care. So he humbled you. God humbled you. He's talking about these Israelites and their parents and themselves. So he humbled you, allow you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Reminder number three is God's watch care. Here they are in the wilderness experience. 2 million, maybe 3 million people wandering in that desert place. And God took care of them. God watched over them. God provided for them. A good reminder as we go into the new year and perhaps coming out of the wilderness, or maybe even going into a wilderness experience, that God watches over his own. He will feed you. He will take care of you. He will provide for you. One of the Psalms that Dave Joviak loved so much when he was ill and wanted me to read often is Psalm 121, where it reminds us that God watches over you. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He watches over your coming and your going. He doesn't take an eye off of you. He watched over you, his watch care. That's a good reminder as we leave the church and move into another year, that God's watch care. He provides for his own. He takes care of us even during those wilderness experience. Reminder number four is verse four, your garments. He's reflecting on how God provided for him. He said, your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. In fact, over in another verse, it even talks about how their shoes did not wear out. Reminder number four is God's wardrobe. I wonder, I asked my wife, is she wearing anything that is 40 years old? She has a special suit on that she loves to wear. And that's not 40 years old. I asked, I wonder how old my suit is. Do any of you wear clothes that this morning that you've had for 40 years? Your shoes have lasted. It's amazing how God provided for his people. Sometimes the Bible talks about, look, if you have raiment, that is clothing, and food, therefore to be content. We take for granted maybe the suit we wear, the dress we have on, the shoes we wear. How God took care of the wardrobe in the wilderness. And after 40 years of walking around, and they didn't have a whole variety of wardrobe as we would do, they lasted for 40 years. God provided for them. Just remember and be reminded that all the clothes and all the shoes and all of the wardrobe that you have, God has taken care of us so wonderfully and blessed us so much. That's a good reminder. As God provided for their wardrobe and their garments and their shoes, and in fact, their feet did not swell. They did not have bunions or blisters. And although there was scorpions in those that wilderness, God took care of them. God provided for them. That's a good reminder as we leave 2017 and make our way into 2018. Verse number 5 is the fifth reminder. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Reminder number 5 is God's wounds. Not talking about his wounds that he suffered on the cross for us to redeem our soul, to bring us to Christ. But sometimes, because God loves us, he inflicts some wounds on us. He chastens us. Hebrews chapter 12 makes it very clear that if you love the Lord and you are a child of God, you know, he just doesn't let you grow up to be whatever you want to be, but he chastens you. There are wounds that sometimes we receive from the Lord because of his love and his cares. And so whatever those wounds might be, as you think about 2018, remember, God loves you. God using that time of chastening to bring us closer to the Lord and developing the kind of person that God wants us to be. And so be reminded of God's wounds that he will bring upon us because of his love, and he'll chasten us. As a father will chasten his children, God, our Heavenly Father, loves us and will chasten us, and sometimes the wounds that we have to endure. Reminder number 6 is verse 6, therefore you shall keep the commandments. We already talked about that of the Lord, your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him, or to revere him, or to respect him. Reminder number 6 is God's worthiness. God is worthy to be trusted. You can depend on him. He will get you through. They trusted in the Lord. They revered him as they wandered in the wilderness, and they accepted the consequences of their disobedience. And now these children are adults, and Moses is saying, be reminded of God's worthiness. Respect him and love him. And now we need to be reminded of God's worthiness as we go into a new year. Love him and appreciate him and come to church to sing about him and talk to others about him. He is your God and your person that will provide and care for you. So be reminded of God's worthiness. Verse number 7 is number 7 as far as the reminder. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. They wandered in the wilderness. There was no water except God provided it through a flint rock. But they're going to go into this land, and the Bible says there's a land of brooks of water and fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills. It's a land of water. We need to be reminded of God's water. We take that for probably granite of the water, and how important it is. You can live a long time without food, but you can't live a long time without water before it begins affecting you. Even the basic things of life, we take it for granted. The fresh water, the bottled water, the water we bathe in, the water that the waters are. This is a land that's flowing with fountains and brooks. And we ought to be reminded of God's water, the physical water that He gives to us. Then I think of the spiritual water, the water that bubbles up and overflows in our life because of our faith in the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. How we ought to be reminded of God's water and providing for our basic needs. How we ought to love Him. Number 8, we read in this verse, we need to be reminded, it says you're going to go into a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig tree and pomegranate, a land of olive oil and honey. In the wilderness, all they had was manna. No matter if you are the best cook and the best chef in the world, you can only cook manna only so many ways. They did it. They ate it for 40 years. Now they're going into land and they got a variety of fruit and vine, and the bees have produced honey and there's water and it's a wonderful land. Be reminded of God's provision for you. Reminder number 7 is God's, or reminder number 8 is God's wheat. I love wheat bread. When I go to Subway, I always want my sub on wheat, representing substance, representing food. They're going into land, and God has provided for them. I wonder, I asked my wife a while back, if there was no way of getting out of the house and we couldn't go to a grocery store, how long could we last? How much food do we have in the house that we could last? I go to our freezer, it's full. I go to our pantry, it's full. You know, I know a lot of it's flour and sugar and, you know, cooking oil. But I think we could last for a long time. I mean, every household, we have so much food. You go to Walmart or Eagles or places that have groceries. I mean, God has given us so much wheat, so much food. Remember, be reminded that God provides this. We live in a land of, you know, not the promised land, but a land that is rich in that kind of substance. So be reminded that God provide our daily bread, God's wheat. Verse number 9 is reminder number 9. It says, a land in which you would eat bread without scarcity. Remember, all they had was manna in the wilderness. These kids, that's all they ate for 40 years. Now he says, you're going to go in this land, you're going to have lots of water, and you're going to have lots of food, and you're going to be able to eat a variety of wonderful meals in which you will lack nothing. And then he says, the land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. We need to be reminded of God's wealth. We sing that song, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. That land going to have iron and copper and other kinds of minerals and to provide. They are going to be wealthy. They're going to go into this. They didn't have it, but now they're going into this promised land that God has provided. He wants these children to remind themselves of the wealth and the blessings that God has given to them. And we are wealthy. We have so much to be thankful for. We ought to enter 2018 being reminded of God's wealth and blessing. And then verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Our reminder number 10 is we need to be reminded of God's warehouse. God owns this 1 million square foot warehouse. It's loaded with food and clothing and medical supplies from the very bottom up to the rafters. Did I say 1 million square foot? No, I meant 10 million square feet. And as soon as something leaves that warehouse to provide our need, truckloads brings it, supplies it. God warehouse, He provides for our every need. You know, all of us probably, whether Thanksgiving, regular meal, Christmas meal, we have this wonderful meal, and we thank God for it, and then we eat. You know, I think sometimes we get it backwards. This verse says, when you have eaten and are full, then you'll bless the Lord. I remember being in a home a while back, and Grandma was in the home living. She was seated at one end of the table, and we had this wonderful meal. We had dessert, and we were just sitting there talking with a family. And all of a sudden, Grandma looked up toward the ceiling, hands lifted like this, and said with her eyes open, "Oh, thank you, God, for such a wonderful meal. We love you." And then that was it. You know, that was her custom. At the end of the meal, when she ate and was full, then she gave thanks to God. You know, God has been so good to us. We ought to remember that. After we are full and after He blessed us, just to thank God for His blessing. You know, sometimes when we think about the water, some of the basic needs, you're mowing the lawn, or you're working outdoors, you're working in the garden, you're hot, you're thirsty, and you come into the refrigerator and you grab one of those cold bottles of water and you gobble it down and you quench it. How many of us, before we drink that water, stop to say, "Oh Lord, thank you for this water. I appreciate this water." You know, sometimes we take things for granted, but after we are full and after our needs are met, and the warehouse is full of providing us everything, after we ought to bless God. We ought to thank God for His generosity and His blessing into our life, His warehouse. And then verse 11. Verse 11 is a transition verse. Verse 11 says, beware. Verses 1 through 10 deals with blessings and goodness and positive things that we already talked about. But now he comes to verse 11 and he says to this young generation that's going into the promised land, "Yeah, I want you to remember these things. Here's some reminders. Beware." And so we need to remind ourselves of God's warnings. God's warnings. Verse 11 begin now the transition from here on out. He's warning these folks, if you don't do certain things, you're going to be sorry for them. Or if you forget God, this is what's going to happen. So we need to look at some of the warnings that God has for us. And we need to be reminded that in the Word of God, the Bible makes it very clear, if you do this and this, I will bless. But if you live a life in such a way, there are going to be consequences. And so he's trying to warn these folks of these things. There are six of them that comes out of beginning at verse 11. Verse 11, it says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you this day. The warning is the danger of waywardness. If you forget God, it's easy just to go wayward, to don't follow God. You don't listen to His command. If you're not listening to the Word of God and following His path in 2018, you're going to follow some philosophy or your own attitude or your own way, and you are going to go wayward from the things of God. That's a warning. Makes sense to come to church. Makes sense to read the Bible. Makes sense to memorize verses. Makes sense to pray and ask God, "Oh, keep me on the straight and narrow way." Because if you don't, it's easy to go wayward. That's a warning. Verse 11 reminds us of that warning of waywardness. Then verses 12 and 13, let me read them together. He says in this warning, "Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwelt in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, the stock market is good, the boss gives you a raise, you're going to get this new bonus, we're going to get a lot of money back from our tax refund, and boy, it's going to be a great year." Be careful, that's a warning of our wealth. It's not wrong to have riches, but I think of Agur, over in Proverbs chapter 30, he prayed to God and he said, "God, don't make me poor and don't make me rich." I wonder if we would pray like that. Because he said, if you make me poor, I might steal, and that's wrong. If you make me rich, then I'll become proud and I'll forget God. So be warning of our wealth, the riches. We all want to have a blessed and prosperous new year. A warning is, don't let the wealth keep you from God. Let's use our wealth. Let's appreciate our wealth. But be careful it doesn't get us off track. Because they didn't have much in the wilderness. A pair of shoes, their robe, manna, glass of water to drink. That's about it. Lived in a tent. Now they're going into the promised land and they're going to eat fruit and veggies and honey and all of that and drink water and water. They're going to enjoy all the brooks and the streams and the fountains like they never had before. And they're going to go build houses and think they're going to prosper and it's going to get, going to have a great year. Well, be careful. That's a warning. That's what God's word. Deuteronomy said to this young generation, don't let money sidetrack you spiritually because it can. And that verse over in Proverbs, those verses over in Proverbs should be the prayer of all of us. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be rich. I just want to be in between so that I can follow the Lord and depend on Him and work for Him. Verse number 14, before I read it, what is the worst sin, the worst wickedness that anyone could do? You know, we're reading a lot about, you know, sexual harassment, molestation of children, taking someone else's life, you know, robbing an old lady. I mean, there's a lot that we can list. But the wickedness that God wants us to be reminded of is this area of pride. Verse 14, when your heart is lifted up, that's pride. Who needs God? I work my own hands. I'm healthy and strong and I'm prosperous and I don't need to go to church. I don't need God. I don't need prayer. You become self-sufficient. You become proud. I become proud. That's a warning. That's a wickedness. That's a wickedness. Maybe the number one wickedness. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Just remember where you came from. God saved you. He reached down. Maybe you're a child. Maybe you're an adult. You were lost. You were on your way to hell. You weren't interested in God. And then God saved you. He opened your eyes. Just remember that. Be reminded of that. And determine. Don't let pride take over your life. Be humble. Be appreciative of all that God gives to us. The warning of wickedness, verse 14. Then I want to read verses 15 through 18 as a unit. It's a warning of worldliness. Worldliness. Verses 15, 16, 17, and 18. It's so easy to become worldly. In our Sunday school class, we're reading Hebrews 11. And Abraham was able to envision the heavenly city. We are just pilgrims. We are just going through this earth. Focus on the Lord. And we all said, as old folks, we find that easier to do as you get older. But when you're 20 or younger or 30 or 40, as this younger generation, it's hard to envision eternity and living in light of the coming of the Lord and living in heaven, because we get so wrapped up in making money and becoming worldly and building homes and building our reputation and our bank account and all that. We become very worldly. Let me read those verses for you. Who led you through? God led them. God fed them. I like that. Verse 15. Who led you? Verse 16. Who fed you? Who led you through the great and terrible wilderness? That was no picnic. Going through that wilderness for 40 years. I went to 3 funerals in the last couple of days. If you were in the wilderness, you went to a lot of funeral every day. Because all those 20 years and older died during that 40-year period because of the consequences of their sin. He said, I led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which fiery serpents, we heard about that, and scorpions, this is the first time we read about that they had scorpions they had to deal with. Apparently God didn't allow any of them to bite their feet because it says in the scripture, feet never swelled. They never were affected by it. God worked it out. Not one of them was bitten, apparently, by these scorpions. And thirsty land, which there was no water, except God provided miraculously water out of a flinty rock. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna. He provided for them for 40 years of that miracle food, that energy drink. which your father did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your father as it is this day. Everything we own, you can say, well, I work hard for it. I spent a lot of hours and I invested my money wisely. I did this and I did that. I did it. No, God blessed them. God gave you the wealth. God gave you what you have. Don't let that worldly possession get you so worldly that you forget to thank God who provided it for you. Worldliness, be aware of worldliness. It's a warning. And he warned this new generation. You're going to get into this land. And I mean, it is night and day. I mean, you're going to have big, beautiful homes and gardens. And you're just going to be blessed. Be careful, because too much of the world will ruin us and harm us. Just a reminder. It's a warning. As we start the year 2018, yeah, we keep our eyes on the economy and our president is encouraging us this is going to happen. Just be careful. Worldliness can happen to us as believers. Just a pilgrim on this way through. Praise God for what he's give you. But don't let worldliness ruin your belief and your commitment and your love for God. If God has blessed you, as many of you have, as we give to the ministry of the Lord and the Greater Things campaign. So worldliness, it's a warning. Verse 19, we read, then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, this is a warning, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. I put down here the warning or the danger of wavering. Are you going to start 2018 and say, I am going to serve God. I'm going to live for God. I'm committed to coming to this church every Sunday. I'm going to be involved in our prayer meeting. I'm going to get involved in some tangible way of serving God. And then as you get into the new year, you begin to waver. Oh, boy, get up every Sunday morning to go to minister in the Wana Club or to teach a Sunday school or be on this committee. We begin to waver. I got more important things to do. And next thing you know, we aren't doing what we know we should do. We waver. We get up Sunday morning and most of us say, we're going to go to church. That's just the way it is. Or do you get up Sunday morning and say, oh, let's see, do I really want to go to church this morning? And we waver. You know, the danger of wavering. Don't forget, be reminded of all that God has given us. And don't waver between this and that, between God and manna. Be committed to God. The danger of wavering will cause you not to worship God. And because of it, there will be consequences in your life that you will suffer in the year 2018. Verse 20, we get to the end of the chapter. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, they're going into the promised land. There's still heathen nations that are living there. They got to drive them out. As a nation which the Lord destroyed before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. The danger of wrongdoing. Do what is right all the time. Recently, but more often than I like to admit, that I've been challenged, you know, to do right, or I just won't do it. On one of our trips, I forgot to figure in the price of the trip. I forgot to figure in the three various guides that were going to give us some guidance, and it's customary that these guys are tipped, are given an honorarium in addition to what they are charged. And I didn't have enough money to tip them. And I went to bed that night thinking, they'll get by. You know, tip is, you know, not required. But I woke up the next morning realizing, no, I'm going to do what is right. I'm going to tip them, even though the money's not there now. I know God's going to provide. You always do what is right. You should try to do always what is right. The danger of wrongdoing, knowing you shouldn't do it, and then you argue in your mind, like I did, oh, it's all right, it'll get by, and then the Lord brings it to your mind. No, you do what is right. That's a good reminder as you start 2018. Do what is right. The danger of wrongdoing. You know it's wrong, don't do it. Do what is right. And so Deuteronomy chapter 8 has some great reminders, and I read them and share them and organize them that you and I might start the year in the Word, Deuteronomy 8. Go back and read it again, restudy it, and allow that to get you through all those reminders as we go through the beginning of this year. Now, here is my, I call it my Baker Dozen list. I got some donuts the other day at Walmart, and they only gave me 12. I guess that's the old thing. Young people, when you used to get a dozen of donuts, they would put an extra one in. You didn't pay for it. It was called the Baker's Dozen. So anyway, let me give you my Baker's Dozen real quick as we conclude our service. Donut number one, I guess you'd call it, or advice number one, that's what I'm calling it, the advice for 2018. They all have two words to feed. Just hopefully it has helped me, maybe it'll help you. But first of all, finish strong. You know, as a senior, that's been our theme for our seniors as we get older and older. Finish strong. Physically, we might not, they might have to carry us in, but spiritually, we're going to keep on trusting God right up to the last breath. And I praise God how many of our seniors have finished strong. Now, that doesn't mean you start weak and in the middle you don't do much in June and July and, come December, I got to finish strong. No, I mean start strong, stay strong, and finish strong. Now, I'm just talking about 2018, but that's a good motto for all of life. Finish strong. Number two, be faithful. You know, when you get to heaven, the Lord doesn't say, well done, thou good and hardworking person. Or, well done, thou good, singer. No, he wants us to be faithful. We all can be faithful. We might not have certain gifts or talent, but advice number two is be faithful. Now, that makes sense. So this is a good time to say, I'm going to be faithful to the church services. I'm going to be faithful in my giving. I'm going to be faithful in my praying. Be faithful. God honors that. God wants that in all of us. So that's advice number two, be faithful. Number three, help others. We are so much about us. It's all about me. It's what I can get out of life. I got to become first. Wouldn't it be great if we start the year, we're going to let others go first. We're going to let others sit where we would like to sit, but we're going to let them sit there. We're going to open the doors for others. We're going to think about others, how we can help them. That's a good advice. Help others. Number four, exhibit love. Exhibit love. Be a loving person. Be known this year as he loves me. He loves the Lord. He loves his church. He loves his wife. He loves his children. Exhibit it. Don't keep it, but show that love. Exhibit it in your everyday life. Number five advice is share Christ. Let's share Christ. I think all of us say that's probably my weakest area. Just don't be embarrassed. Talk about the Lord. Just share Christ wherever you go. And whatever way it is, it doesn't have to be a full-length gospel presentation. Just say, boy, if somebody said, that's lucky, you could just say, no, it's not luck. It's Christ that helped me do it. You know, just little ways, share Christ. Number six, pray more. We all pray. We all pray. Pray more. Spend more time in prayer. Just add a minute or two or three or double your time in prayer. Just pray more. Prayer is so important. My advice is that we all pray more. Number six, Dave Curry said this in my Sunday school class. I said, I'm going to give it to you, Dave. Enjoy life. He said, enjoy life. And we need to enjoy life. Being a Christian is not drudgery. Going to church is a blessing. Giving substance to others and to the Greater Things campaign. Enjoy life. Don't get bogged down and be a whiner and a complainer. Thank God for every day you get up. It's a new day of opportunity. Enjoy it. All that might come, whatever might come, enjoy life. The eighth advice is read Scripture. Read Scripture. Be in the Word. Be, if it's only a verse, if it's a chapter, read the Scripture as you think about 2018. The ninth advice I would be is do church. Do church. Be in church, but be involved in church. Do it. Teach. Be on a committee. Get involved. It's sad what so many believers just sit back and they don't do church. The local church is designed by God to accomplish His work in our lives of reaching the world and seeing new saints grow in the Lord. We need to do church. Be involved in your local church. Number 10, express gratitude. Be thankful. Express it. I'm so happy. Thank you, God, for all you do for us. Thank other people. Express gratitude as you start the 2018. And then number 11, my advice would be patiently wait. Patiently wait. We talked about Abraham and Sarah waiting on God to give them a child. Sometimes they manipulated and they thought they would help God along. Just wait patiently. Wait patiently. Learn to wait patiently. That's good advice. Think biblically. Think biblically is advice number 12. Whenever you have a problem, what does the Bible have to say about it? That ought to be my first response. You've got to think biblically. Should I get mad? Should I do this? Should I do that? What does the Bible have to say? What do I know about it? Think biblically in our actions through 2018. And then number 13, cheerfully, cheerfully serve. Get involved in serving the Lord, in serving in the local church. And do it cheerfully. Don't grumble about it. Don't complain about it. Don't whine about it. Don't say, man, how many hours you do this for the Lord. Just cheerfully serve as a servant of God. Now, that's a baker dozen, but I got one more. And with this, I'm going to have us close in a song. Get saved. Well, you said, I am saved. Well, you don't have to do that. But if you are visiting, you come regularly, and you know you're not saved. You know you're not trusted Christ as your Savior. You know if you die tonight, you wouldn't go to heaven. Well, why don't you get saved? You don't have to wait to 2018 to do it. We're going to give an invitation. I'm going to be standing down front. If you want to get saved, come on down and I'll help you lead you to the Lord and get saved. If you want to wait and talk to someone later or wait till early in the year, whatever you do, get saved. And by the way, don't keep putting it off. Chuck Willard was celebrating a Christmas Eve party with his family. And in all essence, was enjoying cheerfully eating, having games and all that. He became ill. Within 2 days, he died. You never know how quick it can happen to you. Make sure you get saved before you get so sick you can't think. Get saved. Would you get saved this morning? That's great advice. Get saved this year if you're not saved. Let's close in word of prayer.